Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to lesson number 8, which I've titled The Feast of Tabernacles. We are going to do an overview of chapter number 7 from verse 1 to verse 53. Then I'll look at the key revelation from this chapter. We'll conclude with 5 lessons that we get from the chapter. And I believe you'll be empowered and equipped by the Word of God. Get your notebook, get your Bible. Let's flow together as we continue on this journey in the book of John. And I believe already so far you have been blessed, and I believe there's more to come that God has in store for you. I'm excited and I'm also being blessed by the Word of God. I want you then to flow with me as we do the overview. So from verse 1 to verse 9, we see there Jesus interacting with his brothers, his natural brothers. The chapter begins by telling us that Jesus could no longer walk openly in Judea because of the miracles and the hatred from the leaders and the Pharisees. So he stayed in Galilee. But the Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Now it means it was near. Now the Feast of Tabernacles was one of the 3 major feasts of Israel. Now this feast, the first one was the Feast of Passover, which was celebrated in the first month. And this celebrated the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. When God passed them over, they were told to put blood, the blood of the lamb, on their doorposts and on the side, so that when the angel of death would come, he would pass them over. So when they left Egypt, God through Moses instructs them that they should keep this festival to remember how God delivered them. And so they kept that. It was the festival of Passover, where they remembered the deliverance of God, and they would take a lamb, kill it, and apply blood on the doorpost, and that was the sign of being delivered by the blood of the lamb. Now, this typified the coming of Christ. You remember when John saw Jesus in chapter 1, he didn't say the Lion of Judah, he didn't say the Son of Man, he didn't say the miracle worker or prophet. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So when Jesus went to the cross, he went as a lamb and he shed his blood for the forgiveness and remission of our sins. So when we have communion, it is our Passover. So we saw the spiritual fulfillment of the Feast of Passover on the cross. The second feast was the Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, which happened 50 days after Passover. And this also we see in the scriptures as fulfilled on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit was outpoured. So this feast for Israel was a feast where they gathered and celebrated. There was also first fruit, which was the first fruit of wheat and barley that was celebrated during this season. So it was a Pentecost, it was a celebration of first fruit during that season. So we see the Spirit of God arriving at Pentecost 50 days after Jesus had died on the cross on Passover, and he became the first fruit among the disciples. So the disciples became the first fruit of the Holy Spirit, which was the birth of the church, which was the firstborn of the church. The early church was born when the Holy Spirit came down. So we saw the spiritual fulfillment of that feast. The third major feast was the Feast of Tabernacles, which was in the seventh month. And this feast is called the Feast of Tabernacles because they would go into sort of a wilderness, and they would go and make booths or tabernacles. They would not stay in their homes, and for 7 days they would celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. They would remember how God traveled with them, and they stayed in tabernacles in the wilderness, and God carried them through the wilderness until they came to the promised land. So that was the Feast of Tabernacles. It was combined now with the celebration of the harvest of grain. So you saw at Pentecost there is wheat, there is barley, but here in the tabernacle, Feast of Tabernacles, there is the celebration of the harvest of the grains in that season. And this was the time also of the later rain. So this feast is yet to be fulfilled spiritually or prophetically. We have seen Passover on the cross. We have seen Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And the Feast of Tabernacles talks of a prophetic calendar, the last day harvest, a mega harvest in the latter rain, where God will bring an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to bring in the harvest of many people, the Gentiles and nations. But the key thing, as you flow with me, is that Jesus, in his time, this feast was still around. And his brothers come to him and they say, "Let us go to this feast." But Jesus says, "I can't go with you. My time has not yet come." Now, these are his brothers. They are almost teasing him. They say, "Why don't you go that you may also go and show your miracles to those in Judea and your disciples? Why are you staying here in Galilee? So he says to them, no, my time has not yet come. Verse 6 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." Verse 7, "The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me, because I testify of it that the works of it thereof are evil. Go ye up to the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet fully come." You see, Jesus understood his times and seasons. You remember one time when Mary asked him to do a miracle and assist the people. He says, "Woman, my time has not yet come." He knew times and seasons, but he also understood that the people in Judea were looking for any opportunity to cut off his ministry. And he also knew the heart of his brothers, that they were not genuine in wanting him to go there. So he says, "You can go, I will remain behind." So he remained behind. But then from verse 10 to 24, we then see that Jesus, after his brothers had gone, he then followed. He went, but he went secretly. He didn't go in the open. And while he went there secretly, people were already talking and they were saying, "Where is he?" It's like people were waiting for him. They had heard about him. They had heard of his teachings. They had heard of his miracles. So amongst themselves, they were talking, and others were saying he's a good man. They were arguing, and others were saying he deceives people. Now, it is almost the story of serving God. There are those who believe you. There are those who will not believe you. And Jesus understood this. So some were saying he's a good man. Some were saying he's a deceiver. But in the midst of all those arguments, Jesus then appears and he goes to the temple and he begins to teach. In verse 14 says, "Now about the midst of the feast." So in the middle of the feast, so it could have been the third or the fourth day, because it was a 7 day feast. He appeared in the temple and began to teach. And the Jews, they marveled and said, "How does this man know the scriptures, yet he is not learned?" But he had revelation beyond what they could understand, because he himself was the Word. And Jesus answered and said in verse 16, "My doctrine is not mine, but he who sent me." So you see this theme throughout the Gospel of John, that Jesus understood that he had been sent. He understood that he was on a mission that the Father had sent him. So he says, "The words that I'm speaking, you are being surprised, but these words, I'm just speaking what the Father has told me to speak. And because I'm doing what I've been sent to do and saying what I've been told to say, I don't seek my own glory, but I seek the glory of the one who sent me." And he tells them that you read the law, but you don't even keep the law that you are reading, you are seeking to kill me. And then they responded and said, thou art as a devil, in verse 20. Who is going to kill you? Who wants to kill you? Jesus answered, I have done one work and you all marvel. And now why is it you are arguing and saying, because I healed a man on the Sabbath, I have broken the law. And he then begins to clarify that and explain and say, you were given circumcision and you circumcised people on the Sabbath day. Why is it now that I have done good to someone on the Sabbath day that you are saying, I have broken the law and you are angry with me? Verse 24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge a righteous judgment. Now, from verse 25 to 36, there is division among the people. There is an argument. Some seek to kill him, but they find him is speaking boldly and no one is doing anything to him. And in verse 28, then cried Jesus in the temple and taught, saying, you both know me and whence I am, or where I come from, but he that sent me you know not. So the people began to say, he can't be the Christ. We know where he comes from. We know his parents. And Jesus is saying, you know that, but you don't know the one who sent me. Verse 29, but I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. And they understood what you are saying, that you are saying he came from God and he had been sent by God. And in that hour they tried to lay hands on him, but they could not, because his hour had not come. What that means is his hour for the cross had not come, so they could not kill him. You must understand that when you are in the will of God and the time that God has set for you, even if people rise against you who don't like you, they cannot do anything to you until God says your time is up. Many people believed in him, but some just believed in him just as a prophet. And they said when the Messiah would come, you'd do even more miracles. So they didn't have a full revelation. They just said, this is a good man. This is a prophet. He does miracles, but he's not the Messiah. So that was the understanding. The Pharisees had the people talking, and they did not like what they were saying. So they sent officers to go and take Jesus, or almost arrest him. Verse 33 says, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I'm with you, and then I'm gone to him that sent me. You shall seek me, and you shall not find me. Where I am, thither cannot come. So they began to talk again amongst themselves. What, where is he going where we can't come? Does he want to go and preach to the Gentiles? Why? Because they're thinking carnally. Jesus was talking about returning to the Father in heaven, and that they could not come yet. Later you see that Jesus says to the disciples, I go and prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and take you to where I am. Hallelujah. So we see that there. Then the part, last part, 37 to 53, we see Christ continuing to teach, but he then releases prophetic words, powerful prophetic words. Verse 37 says, in the last day of the great day of the feast, so on the seventh day, seven is a number of completion and fullness, Jesus then stood up and cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. So you see, throughout the feast, there's been talk, there's been commotion. Some are saying he's a good man. Some are saying he's a deceiver. Some are saying he is not the Christ. Some are saying he's a prophet. Then Jesus then says, on the last day, if any man thirsts, anyone who's thirsty, let him come and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, unto him, his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We'll come back to this verse. And verse 39 says, he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which they that would believe on him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So even after this powerful prophecy, people began also then to argue again. Verse 40 says, many people therefore, when they heard this, said of the truth, this is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall the Christ come out of Galilee? They were confused. Has not the scripture said the Christ is the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was division among the people because of him. Some would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. And the officers that were been sent by the Pharisees, they asked him, why have you not brought him? They said, listen to the answer of the officers. What a blessing. Verse 46, the officers answered, never a man spoke like this man. They said, we wanted to arrest him, but when we heard how you were speaking, we have never heard a man speak this way. And the Pharisees were angry. Do you also believe you are in him now? But these people who know it's not the law are cursed. So the priests and the Pharisees began to say to them, because you don't understand the law, you are cursed. But then Nicodemus, in verse 50, you remember Nicodemus who went to see Jesus in chapter 2, then says, is it right for us to judge a man before we hear him and listen to his colleagues? Because now Nicodemus had revelation, and I believe by now he was a man who had been born again. They answered and said to him, art thou also a Galilean? Are you from Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Because they themselves did not understand that though Jesus was ministering in Galilee, he was not born in Galilee. He was born in Bethlehem, as the prophecy of the Messiah said. But his ministry was in Galilee, because that is where he was honored. In Judea, they contended with him. They fought against him. So his ministry did not prosper there. But in Galilee, it prospered, because there was so much honor for him. Verse 53 says, every man went unto his house. It means the feast had come to an end at sunset, and they each traveled back. They dismantled their boots. The feast was over, and they went their way. The key scripture that we see here is John chapter 7 and verse 37 to 38. It says, on the last day of the great day of the feast. So that last day of the feast, which was on a Sabbath also, was a great day of the, because it was the last day. So everyone was excited. This is the day Jesus stood up and said, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. So you see that divine things answer to thirst, they answer to hunger. People who have a desire. That is why Jesus said, teaching, do not give precious things to pigs, because they'll trample on them and they'll trample on you. When you give precious things to people who don't desire it, it will not benefit them. That's why even in teaching this series, I had to ask for people who are interested in learning and going through a study and an exposition of the book and gospel of John, because it is only someone with a desire, a hunger, and a thirst who is able to read, to listen and learn and be blessed and be transformed, because there is a thirst. And Jesus says, let him come to me. He's telling them that I am the one who is able to quench your thirst. Because one of the things that would happen during this feast was there was a drink offering that was offered. And Jesus is saying, there is water that I can give that is more than this that is being offered. And he says, he that drinks this water, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he spoke of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You remember John says, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. And it is through the Spirit of God that we are transformed and we begin to impact the lives of other people. Five lessons as we conclude. Number one, understand the times and seasons of God. Very important. Jesus understood times and seasons. The Bible says of the sons of Issachar, they understood the times and seasons and they knew what to do. This is the same thing with Jesus. He knew what to do. When his brothers wanted to force him, he didn't act according to his brother's will. He acted according to the seasons and times of God. He went to the feast, but he did not go at the time of his brothers. He went at the time that God said now is the right time for him to go. And he went secretly. And when it was time to manifest, he manifested and he began to teach in the temple. So remember always that you don't move with people's time, the chronos. You move with the kairos, the fullness of time, what God has intended for you. The second lesson, understand God's assignment for your life. That's very important. Jesus understood the assignment that was upon his life. No matter the contention, no matter what people said, he understood what God had called him to do. And he says, I speak the words that my Father has told me to speak. And it's very important in life that you understand your purpose. You understand your assignment. That will help you to stay in your lane. You are not confused by the debates and the arguments that people make, but you focus on that which God has set for you. Number three, the Holy Spirit flows to those that are thirsty. This is a spiritual principle. The Spirit of God flows to those that are thirsty. That's how the Spirit flows. If you are not thirsty, the Spirit will not flow into your life. That's why Jesus says, if any man thirst. They were arguing and talking a lot of things. He says, I'm not concerned about your arguments, who is theologically correct, who understands the law. No, I'm looking for men and women that are thirsty. It is men and women that are thirsty that can drink from the Spirit of God. So the Spirit responds to thirsty. Thirst. When you are thirsty for God, oh, the Spirit of God will flow and manifest in your life. Hallelujah. Number four, the anointing is the power for impact. Jesus says, out of his belly, or out of the Spirit, will flow rivers of living water. You know what happens with rivers? If you read in Ezekiel 47, where the river went, the water became fresh. There were trees, there were fruits, because where a river is flowing, there is life. That's why many great cities are built around rivers. And you see the great Nile River, which is the longest river, is a river that has sustained civilizations. Why? Because of the power of a river. And Jesus is saying, when you drink of the Spirit, the anointing will begin to flow out of you and impact other people. The words that you speak, the things that you do, are no longer just ordinary things, but they carry the power of the Holy Spirit, and other people are encouraged, they are built up, they are strengthened, because there is a flow in your life, in the name of Jesus. Lastly, have a proper revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, throughout this feast, there was always arguing. Some are saying he's a prophet, some are saying he's a deceiver, some are saying he's a good man. You need a personal revelation of Jesus. Don't depend on other people. Don't depend on hearsay. You need a revelation of who Jesus is. So for yourself to be able to follow and to follow fully, you need that revelation of Jesus Christ. If you don't have it, you'll be confused by arguments of other people and you miss what God has for you. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Pray that you give us understanding of times and seasons like the sons of Issachar. I pray that you align us with our assignment and divine purpose. I pray, Spirit of God, an igniting, a stirring up of the thirst for divine things. We are thirsty for your Holy Spirit. For Father, you say in your word, if we ask for the Holy Spirit, you will not give us a stone, you will not give us a scorpion, you give us more of the Holy Spirit, and we receive the Spirit tonight. Oh, open your heart, open up your spirit, begin to thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Spirit. Thank you for your anointing. Receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Receive empowerment from the Holy Spirit. If you are thirsty, be filled right now in Jesus' mighty name. Kalaba sande rebeke zia kotoro bokosa. May your eyes be open. May you have a personal encounter. May you have revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Let's connect again tomorrow.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.